Well, turn with me this evening to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to read just one verse out of Exodus 20, and then we will ask the Lord's help in our study this evening. Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read together verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this brief reading from his word. Let's now seek his face in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful this night for the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that enables us to come into thy presence. We confess apart from that blood, none of us would come to thee this night. And we know that this night we are truly accepted, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done. Lord, we know that as your people, there are things that you wish us to do, things you wish us to say, the way that you wish us to walk. Lord, we would ask that you would help us to understand as your people this night how it is that we're to conduct ourselves here below. Lord, we ask for greater grace. We ask for help. We know there's coming a day when we will leave this life and we will go to be with thee and our souls will be perfected. But Lord, until that day arrive, we confess we have need of thy instructions and the power of thy spirit to do thy will. Lord, come and help us. Come and move in our midst tonight, even as we would study thy word together. May we hear thy voice. May we respond unto thee. May we know your presence in the midst of your people. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord expended great energy and power in redeeming a people to himself. The Lord called Moses and Aaron to go to Egypt. In order to get them to Egypt, the Lord had to convince Moses that he was going with him. Every obstacle that Moses put in the way, the Lord removed. And finally, Moses and Aaron arrived in Egypt. They were just two men. There was not an army. And yet they demanded from Pharaoh that the people be let go. Pharaoh was not of a mind to let them go. You could understand that as he looked at these two men, that there were other men in Egypt just as strong and just as wise. And yet these two men said they represented the God who made heaven and earth. The Lord began making plagues in the land and softening the heart and hardening the heart and softening the heart and hardening the heart of Pharaoh. Until finally in the last plague, the Lord did something that broke the heart of Pharaoh, and he was willing to let the people go. I'm talking now about the redemption of the nation, the Passover. When the lamb was slain and the blood applied, God delivered his people out of Egypt's bondage. They were now a new nation, and their allegiance was to the one who had delivered them. It was because of this authority over the nation that God can command the redeemed nation as to what they ought to do. When you come to chapter 20, it is not a chapter telling the nation how to become redeemed. They were already redeemed. That's how he starts in verse 2 of chapter 20. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I've redeemed you. And tonight, as we come to study these Ten Commandments, we must keep before us the fact that we are not looking at these commandments in order to try to somehow obtain redemption. If that is your desire tonight, you're going to fail miserably. There's none of God's commands that you will keep perfectly. Therefore, you will perish in trying to do the law. But having said that, once you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, once you are saved, there is that which God desires out of you in order to please him. And so as we submit to the one who has redeemed us, he demands that we be different from all the others in the earth. In this case, that the nation be different from all the other nations. In our case, that we, as a part of this glorious kingdom of Christ, as we a part of his church, would be a different church, a different nation throughout the earth. We have been looking then at the commands that make us distinct from the rest of the world. The first four commands deal with our walk with the Lord. But now we get into the commands that deal with our relationship with man. It's interesting where he starts. I would have probably have started with thou shalt not kill. Or perhaps in the marriage bond, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the Lord starts with the family and with the children in the family. In this fifth command, we have the governance of the home and the preparation for the children to obey the authorities in the land. And I use that plural word deliberately. I do not believe that this command was merely for the home, but that it was indeed teaching the children how they were to submit to authority as that authority would be brought upon them later when they were outside of the home. We'll see that as we go through in a few minutes. Certainly the New Testament redemption of the sinner also brings our homes under the authority of the Lord. Now there are commands in the New Testament for parents. You see that in the same context when Paul is dealing with commands concerning the children. He does command the parents how they're to treat their children. Parents were first themselves children, and they should have learned obedience when they were in their own homes, and they should be able to teach that obedience then to their own children. Parents are also themselves children in God's family, and as they obey Him as their Father, they should be able to teach their children what it is to obey the earthly authority in the home. Parents who obey God will treat their children certainly in a manner that pleases Him, and there are promises given to parents concerning the way that they treat their children. But in spite of what is said concerning the parent in the New Testament, here we have God dealing with the child. Children are responsible for their behavior in spite of the parents' imperfections. When you think of the home, there has never been a home where there was not imperfect parents. When the first child was born, Adam and Eve were already fallen creatures. And this command for children to obey their parent is not a conditional command that says when your parents reach a level of perfection, then you are to obey. And we're going to see that the other authorities that are in the earth also have similar commands, and there is no condition placed on those commands either. If we are going to expect God's blessing in the homes that we have, then we have to honor those that are in authority in those homes. And if we do not, then our homes will be little different than the homes of the world with all the problems that are found in the home. The command is very simple. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first thing I'd like for us to note is that we are commanded to honor. As we have said, this is the first command that is manward. The first four commands are Godward. This is how you're to worship God. This is the God that you're to worship. This is the day that you are to worship. But in this command, the parents are the view, and the children are to honor the parents. Now, the word honor has to ascribe weight to the parent. You honor someone that you ascribe weight to. You think that this person is a lofty person. This person is someone that has done great things. Therefore, you honor them. But we'll see as we go further that honor is just one aspect of this. As Moses deals with this command, and then as Paul deals with it, they add more instruction to give us a fuller meaning of what honor is. A.W. Pink, in trying to bring all of what the Old and New Testament says, gives us these words. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The word honor means more than obey, though obedience is necessarily included in it. To honor a parent is to give him the place of superiority, to hold him or her in high esteem, to reverence him. The scriptures abound with illustrations of divine blessing coming upon those who honored their parents, and the divine curse descending upon those who honored them not. The supreme example is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 we read, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. On the cross we see the Savior honoring his mother by providing a home for her with his beloved disciple John. Well, I think pink certainly is pointing the right direction here. We have our Lord himself as the supreme example. Here he was perfect and his parents were not. And yet you find him subjecting himself unto them. And then before he's going to leave this life, before he actually suffers that agony of dying for his people, as he's there on the cross, his heart is still in honoring of his mother and providing for her. And we find him commanding then John to take his mother under his care. As we have said, this command does not have a condition. If there was a condition, that would put the child above the parent, and the child would be sitting there in rule over the parent, saying, when you reach this level, then I will honor you. That's not what is being done here. As children, we are to honor our parents. I believe that that honor goes on all the days of our life. Later on, he talks about children obeying their parents. I think that is limited to the time when the individual is a child. As an adult, I'm not commanded to obey my parents. But the command to honor my parents continues on and on and on. I am to honor them because they are parents. And when you look in Scripture, this honor that you give to the authority in the home is the same type of honor you give to the authority in the church, the same type of honor you give to the authority in society or the governance in society. We are to show honor to those that the Lord has placed in authority. Honor is a man-word imperative. It is something that is toward the authority that's above us. But it also does include obedience. I want to turn your attention to several passages of Scripture that will help us to understand how this obedience is to be carried out and what it does not entail. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul here is quoting from the very passage that we have read in Deuteronomy, as well as the passage here in Exodus. And he says right at the beginning, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then as authority for his command, he then takes you to the passage that we just read out of Deuteronomy. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Here he says that we're to obey our parents in the Lord. I believe it's very important that we understand that that phrase, in the Lord, does indeed tell the child that they are not to obey the parents when the parent steps outside the bounds of giving commands contrary to God's will. If my parents tell me to kill someone, I'm not to kill that individual simply because my parents tell me to do it. If my parents tell me to lie, I'm not to lie. If my parents tell me to steal, I am not to steal. If my parents tell me that I am to commit adultery, I am not to commit adultery. You see, that sounds kind of strange, yet parents are doing that very thing all through our land right now. They are giving commands that are contrary to God's will. You are to obey your parents in the Lord. That is in the Lord's will, in the Lord's directive in Scripture. So what the Lord commands you to do can never be, as it were, countered by the parents. Oh, they may give a contrary command, but that command is not to be obeyed. Now, if I am obeying my parents in the Lord, then I will be doing those things that they say that the Scripture does not speak of. And so they may tell me that I'm to scrub the kitchen floor with a toothbrush. Well, I get the toothbrush, and that's God's will for me at that hour, because that's what my parents have given me to do. I am to obey my parents in the Lord. But if my parent tells me that I am to sin against the Lord, then I am to disobey that parent, as I am to disobey an elder, a minister who tells me to sin, as I am to disobey a governor who tells me to sin. I am to disobey that authority, because that authority is taking me outside of the Lord, taking me to do those things that are not pleasing to the Lord, that are clearly revealed in Scripture. Are we to obey? Yes, but it must be in the Lord. I believe it was Asa in the Old Testament, is certainly one of the kings who had a mother who was ungodly, a queen who was sitting on a throne, and he removed her. He removed her. You say, but he didn't honor her. Yes, he did. The problem was she was not honoring the Lord, and she became an obstacle to the nation. She was leading the nation in sin. And so Asa, as he began his reign, removed his mother. Now, there's conflict there in the text. It could be his actually grandmother, but the honor that would go to the mother would go to the grandparents as well. Asa removed the one because of her disobedience to God and the fact that she was teaching that disobedience to the nation. Obedience is always in the Lord. Always in the Lord. And a lesser authority cannot give you a command to disobey the greater authority. And if they do give you a command to disobey the greater authority, that command is to be ignored. Now, can you honor a parent who gives you a command to disobey the Lord? Yes, you can. You're not honoring that command. You're not obeying that command. But you can still honor them as your parent. You can still honor them as such. And when you find the Apostle Paul going before rulers, many of whom were very wicked and were commanding things that were wicked, yeah, when he stood before them, he showed them honor. He honored them for the office that they held, even though he did not obey their command. You find that if indeed you're following the command in the Lord that is given to you, then you're to follow it in all things. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents in all things. Obviously, he's not talking about commands that are outside of the Lord, commands that violate God's word. But when it comes to raising a child, the parent has real authority over that child as long as a child is a child. And therefore, the child is to obey the parent in all things. Now, I believe a good parent will indeed try to help the child and help the child see what the reasoning is behind the command. We'll try to do those things that are beneficial to the child. But even if the things that are being done are not as beneficial to the child as the child would like, he's only a child for a short time. And after he's a child, again, he's an adult. After that, he'll make his own way in life. While he'll still honor the parent, he's no longer obligated to obey the parent in all things. This obedience to the parent is something that is right. You saw that in Ephesians chapter 6. We're to obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's always right. It's what God has set up. And so when God set up the nation of Israel, it was with a standard of authority in the land, and the parents were the standard of authority in the home. And the children were to obey the parents. This is a righteous standard which the child is to accept. If obedience is in the Lord, then it is right in God's sight what is being commanded to the child. God establishes authority in the home. He does so also in the church. He does so also in society. And you have the same type of commands being given both in the church as well as in society. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. You're already in Paul's epistles. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, we read, verse 17, I think 7 has another command, but this is the one I'm looking for. Verse 17, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. What would he find in the home? If you will obey your parents, if you're going to honor your parents, it's going to go well with you. There's profit to you in doing so. And if you will honor those who are given the authority in the church, if you obey them, then there's truly that which will go well with you. It is profitable for you. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 13. We look at society now, apart from the church. You say, certainly in society, we won't have to obey the government. We don't have to obey kings because they're ungodly, they're wicked, they're fighting with the Lord. And yet that is not what Paul says. God, through the Apostle Paul, gives this instruction in Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. God associates here the power in the authority, that is the governor or the king, to the authority of God. It's God who set up these authorities. Now, when Paul was saying that, he's talking about Caesar. When he was saying that, he was talking about governors under Caesar. Certainly, Caesar was in no way a godly man. Certainly, the kings that Paul stood before and gave testimony, as you read in the book of the Acts, were not godly. But as I said earlier, when Paul stood before them, he honored them. Now, he told them the truth. He told them the truth about salvation. He told them the truth about God's judgment. He told them the truth about their responsibility to believe on Christ. He did not hide the gospel. But having said that, he said it in a way that was honoring to those that were in authority above him. You have Peter saying the same thing in his short epistle concerning the government, that we are to obey them. Now, did Paul always obey the government? No, he did not. Did Peter always obey the government? No, he did not. There were times when the government commanded the church to sin. And when that came, the apostles and the church decided to obey the Lord rather than the government. They obeyed the Lord in all things. But there are many things the government takes upon itself to command us that the scripture has no statement on. And in those regard, in that regard, we are to honor the authority. We're to subject ourselves to the authority. We're to recognize that they are ordained of God. We are to recognize, as you read later in chapter 13, that Paul calls them ministers of God. Ministers of God. It's not always easy to think that way when the patrol man pulls you over and is about to give you a ticket that he's a minister of God to you. And he may not have the right attitude when he addresses you. And he may not himself be a godly man or an honest man or a good man. But he's a minister of God because of his authority, the place that God has placed him. In the nation of Israel, there were levels of authority. And God was demanding that the people obey those levels of authority and they show honor to those levels of authority unless those levels of authority went against the word of God. And when it did, they were to obey God, not the levels of authority. Now this may get more difficult as we move on in our own land, as we see authority perhaps come against the church, come against God's people. How do we deal with it? Well, we have an example of how to deal with it by some of our brethren in China, some of our brethren in Russia, some of our brethren in Romania who have had to go through this themselves and at times disobey the government while at the same time honoring the government. That's not easy. It wasn't easy for God's people in Egypt when they were trying to obey the authority and then the authority said, you're to kill your children. Obviously, they had to disobey at that point. And those who did disobey, God honored and God rewarded them. But there was severe times, you could say, of persecution before God delivered them from Egypt. It could be coming to us here, but at this point, certainly we are to obey the government and we are to honor those in authority, even though we may not vote for them, even though we may not see their wisdom. And at times they may be antichrist in their attack on Christ and the home and the church. And yet we're called upon to indeed obey them where they indeed do not disobey the scriptures, where they do not disobey what God commands us. Obedience, we find in Colossians, is well-pleasing to the Lord. This obedience that the child does is something that is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is right in the Lord's sight. That's what Paul says in Ephesians. And now he says in Colossians that it is well-pleasing. The Lord has authority in the life by virtue of his creation and in virtue of his redemption. And the Lord establishes other authorities over his subjects. And these authorities are to be obeyed, and when they are obeyed, that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now again, I'm not saying that if the authority tells you to sin, and you sin, that that is well-pleasing. No, you are in sin, regardless of who the authority is and who is commanding you to sin. What we're dealing now is in those areas where the authority is not in sin, and yet is giving the command. And when that is the case, we are to honor and we are to obey, especially when it comes to the home. Not only are we commanded to honor, but according to Exodus 20, we are encouraged to honor. The encouragement comes from the Lord, who actually gives them the land. You see that in verse 12. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, he had not yet given them the land. That was still future. But it was also part of the covenant. Just as bringing them out of Egypt formed a covenant, so in that covenant was the promise that in the future he would give them the land. Now, had they not sinned, that promise would have been fulfilled very quickly. But because of their sin and his need to chastise them and purify them in the wilderness, that promise took 40 years for fulfillment. It is interesting that the taking of the land, the giving of the land to Israel, is a type of the giving of heaven to the believer. God commands us certainly to obey our parents in the Lord, that it will go well with thee in the land, certainly in the land in which we live, but also in the fact that we are going to glory. And he is in control in glory, and he is the authority of glory. And we're preparing ourselves for glory by learning how to respond to the authorities that he's placed over us as if we're responding to him. It says he prolongs their day. Obviously, there may have been times when an obedient child died sooner than a disobedient child. But on the average, for the most part, a child that obeyed was indeed given longer life in the earth than the one who disobeyed. John Trapp, the Puritan, said, "A good child lengthened his father's days. Therefore, God promised to lengthen his. Ill children, as they bring their parents' gray hairs with sorrow to the grave, so they are many times cut off in the midst of their days, as Abimelech was, God rendering upon him the evil that he did to his father." So children who shorten their parents' days by the worry and the heartache that they bring to them, God may shorten their days by bringing upon them a shorter lifetime here on this earth. But obviously those who obey the Lord and show that they belong to the Lord by their obedience are not only found to have longer days on the earth, they're given eternal life. Eternal days in the new earth. And as we have said, the land was a picture, a type of heaven and eternity. God says, "I'm going to prolong your days." When you look at that, you would say, well, if the days are evil, why were you going to prolong them? That's not a good thing. That may be a bad thing. And so when you come to Deuteronomy, Moses interprets this as meaning that God's going to do that which is well or good with you. Again, turn back to Deuteronomy, where the prophet Moses is commenting now on what took place there on the mount. And he says this in verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged," right? That's as far as Exodus goes. "And that it may go well with thee." That is not in Exodus. And then he picks back up where Exodus leaves off in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So he says that it may go well with thee. That is something that Moses is adding now to interpret the text for us. What does he say about prolonging the days? That your days are going to be better days. And certainly the guilt, the confusion, the heartache that a disobedient child brings into the home, it's not just upon the home that he brings it. He brings it into his own heart. And he's fighting with guilt. And the guilt that he's fighting with shortens his days, as it were. His days are not well days. His days are not good days. And he's fighting and he's bitter and he's upset. I know something about that. Oh, to be one who's obedient and there's no guilt, and now you're laboring in the home and you don't have this guilt, you don't have this confusion, you don't have this conflict, so that the days that you have, while they might be 24-hour days just like everyone else, yet the days are well days, they are good days. There are days where there's no guilt. There are days where everything is at peace. There's no conflict, there's no fighting. There's no trying to prove the parent wrong and my way better than the parents. Paul takes this same theme and he brings it up. When Paul quotes this command, he doesn't quote so much from Exodus as he quotes from Deuteronomy. And he brings this same command to us with the same blessing attached to it, that it may go well with thee. The Apostle Paul truly applies this to our hearts just as Moses did to their hearts. He prolongs the day and he does so that it may go well with those who are doing this command. Well, if prolonging the day is the benefit that God gives to us, it's the commandment with promise. And if the days are well days, that is, the days are going to be better days, does that not imply that if we break this command, that our days will be shortened? If we break this command, that our days will not be good days? I think it does imply that. And when you see this command, as is found other places in Deuteronomy, as you find this command, as is worked out into the nation, especially the book of Proverbs, it deals with the chastening of the heart of those who break the command. If you break the command, who are you really disobeying? Ultimately, you're disobeying God. He's the one who gave the command. I often think of what it would have been like to be Joshua and being commanded to go into Jericho and kill the people. That was the command. It would have not been an easy command. You're commanded to go in with your sword and put to death those that are there. And if you're obeying Joshua, then you're obeying the Lord. The nation then went in and did what Joshua said because he was giving what the Lord said. Well, here the child is not given such an awful command of killing the parent. The child is given a good command that's going to benefit them. If you will honor your parents, if you will obey your parents, it's going to go well with you. Your days will be prolonged. If we break the command, we're really rebelling against God. Christ is the Lord, and he's the one whom we're disobeying. Antinomianism is the setting aside and the rebelling against God's laws. We're living in a society of antinomianism. And this command is one of those commands that's being thrown to the wind. You don't have to show honor to your parents. You don't have to show honor to those in the church and authority. You don't have to show honor to those in society. All you have to do is show honor to yourself. And then want everyone else to show honor to you. I find it strange that people want honor shown to them, but they won't give the due honor that they are commanded to give to others. Trust is necessary for anyone who is under authority and is called upon to obey that authority. Trust to say that God is so much in control that if he gives me this command to obey this authority, he must have power then to control the authority. And when you can see that as one who is under the authority, it will help you then to obey that authority, because you can see, here is God giving me a command. He's telling me to do what my parent says in this instant. He can harden their heart. He can soften their heart. He can direct their heart. Therefore, it's God giving me the command. You say, does the scripture teach that? Well, it certainly teaches that in concerning the king. In Proverbs 21 and verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, as the channels of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So here is God saying, I'm in control of the king, and I can turn his heart any direction I want. So if I'm turning his heart, you obey the king. Now again, we're not dealing with sin. We're not dealing with those that are telling us to do that which is evil. But we are dealing with God's sovereign control over one who's in authority, so that we can honor that authority, we can obey that authority, knowing that they are the minister of God in our life at that moment. And if children can see that behind the actions of their parents, that their imperfect parents are under the control of God and they will give direction to them, then that frees them to obey God. And there's just one issue in the heart now. And that one issue in the heart is, am I going to obey the Lord or not? Now, I came from a home where I was rebelling against the Lord. I speak that to my shame. But since there are children here, I say that to your warning, that greed brings grief. It brings pain to the parents. Were my parents perfect? No, they were not perfect. And when I came to those who led me to Christ and I said to them, do I have to obey my parents because they're not Christians, or they're not, they would say they're Christians, but they're not believing what I believe and doing what I do. Do I have to obey them? Do I have to honor them? And I was shocked. The man said, yes, absolutely. There's no condition placed on that command. So if your parent tells you to do something that is not disobeying the word of God, you must do it. Because at that moment, you are doing what the Lord wants you to do. So do it with all of your heart and with joy. Do it as unto the Lord, knowing it's well-pleasing unto Him. Well, that changed everything in my life. I was 16 years old. And at that point, I began obeying my parents. Wherever my parents spoke to me and it wasn't dealt with in Scripture, I did what they commanded. Now, if they told me to break the commands of God, I disobeyed them. But most parents are not trying to get their children to disobey the commands of God. My going to college was directed by my parents. You say, was that God's will? I know it, absolutely. I even came to my parents to ask them about marrying my wife. I didn't need their approval at that point because I was an adult and had been living as an adult as a long time. But I wanted God to, through them, give approval if it be His will. And if it not be His will, I wanted them to warn me that this wasn't His will. So I called my parents and I remember asking them. And my mother said, why haven't you eloped? We thought you were going to elope a long time with this young lady. They were happy, I think, at that point that I'd found someone who would take me. Parents are to be obeyed with the understanding that God can control their hearts. He can soften their hearts. He can harden their hearts. I can tell you things that I came to them for instruction on and guidance on that they don't remember. But I remember because I was coming to them as to the Lord, and I was under their authority at the time, and I knew that if this was God's will, then He would change their hearts. And He did so. Now, my parents, I'm not here dishonoring them. I'm telling you my own experience tonight. And I'm telling you it for the good of the children that are here. God is going to direct you through your parents. There's coming a time you will be an adult. And when you're an adult, you do not have to obey your parents. You have to obey the Lord. You have to honor your parents. You have to reverence them and honor them all the days of your life. But when you become an adult, you do not have to obey them. But up to that time, you must obey them. They might be protecting you from something you don't know anything about. They may be warning you about something you don't know anything about. We were going to go to a Bible study one night, and I had the privilege of picking up some men. It was an ice storm out. And I can remember twisting my dad's arm and just moving him and arguing with him and trying to reason with him. I needed to use his vehicle to go to get these people to take him to the Bible study. Well, I had an accident that night. I wondered afterwards, was it wise what I was doing, trying to change my father's heart when his heart was already one direction? I should have just listened to him. You don't know what's coming. You don't know who you're going to meet when you go someplace. You don't know what's going to happen to you when you go to that individual. You need God's direction, and God can give you that direction by softening the heart of the parent and hardening the heart of the parent, even if He's making the parent's life miserable by something else, and what's hardening their heart is not actually what you're asking about, but their heart becomes hardened, and because of that they say no, or because of that they say yes. And you say, well, they're not even before the Lord on their knees asking God for direction for my life. Why should I trust them? You're not trusting them. You're trusting the God who controls them. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And God is able to give you direction through your parents while you're a child. You know, when I became an adult, it became very difficult. Because I didn't have anybody to go to now to get direction from. I had to go to the Lord Himself. But as I learned how to follow His directions, as I learned to see how He moves through my parents and in society, when I became an adult, it wasn't that I was blind. I had already began to learn how to respond to authority and see the Lord's authority in my life. Now, I'm not here tonight to preach Mark Allison. That's not the purpose. We preach the Lord and not ourselves, Paul says. And yet Paul gave earthly examples of what went on in his life, so I think I'm warranted to do so tonight. You and I are called upon to trust in our authority, and yet the authority may not have our best interests at heart. The authority may not be seeking God's will. And yet God can control that authority, and the command still stands that we are to honor that authority. And if we are children, we're under that authority. We're to do the will of the authority while we are a child. You say, I'll miss God's blessing for my life. I'm going to miss that person for a spouse. I'm going to miss the job that I want. I'm going to miss the college education that I want. No, you won't miss anything other than doing that which is disobedient to the Lord. The Lord is going to direct your life. Isn't that what you want? He's going to direct your life in this wilderness. And He will do so while you're a child through your parent if you will let the parent do so. I think the great fear that was put upon my parents' heart was when I came to them and I told them, you know, I was wrong in disobeying you. Now, you decide for me. They didn't want that. They didn't want that responsibility. I'm going to go to college. You make the decision. I'm going to go here. What should I do? And yet that's a good thing to do to the parent, to put the responsibility upon them because God has put them in authority in the home. If we break the command, we are truly rebelling against God. How do you keep the command? By being able to see that God is in control of the authority above us. Therefore, I'm just responding to God, and that's it. And He will use my parents to work obedience into my heart. He will use my parents to, as it were, chasten away some of those impurities of heart that God might actually be able to use me later for His glory. If we break the command, we are rebelling against the Lord. I went to a university that has a great number of rules. And sometimes it is mocked because of the authority where it will discipline students and it will remove students from the student body when they sin and dishonor Christ. And somebody said, why are you going there? I says, well, that doesn't bother me. My whole desire is to do the Lord's will. If I'm under authority that's going to discipline me, I'm already under that authority. I'm under the Lord. What would you have been in Israel, in the nation of Israel? No different than that. The nation of Israel punished you if you did what was evil, even put you to death when you did that which was evil. What was it wrong to disobey the authority above you? Sure, it was wrong. It didn't bother me that I went to a Christian university and the university told me what to do. They were telling me what to do. I had to really not conform any of my life to any standard that they put on me because I already had that standard. Well, there are rules concerning organization that any school has, but as far as standards of godliness, I wasn't living in immorality. I wasn't a drunkard. I wasn't breaking the Sabbath. I wasn't doing any of those things anyways. So I've got to go to a state college where I can be free, where I can find out, is drug addiction okay? Is immorality okay? And then the parent is saying, don't go there. Child says, that's where I'm going to go. Well, you can go and destroy your life too. The parent wants to try to protect the child, wants the child to grow. And when they truly are an adult, to be able to make those decisions, not having destroyed their life in the process. If we break God's command, we are chastened by the Lord. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. All of us as God's children are being corrected. And in the home, the children are also being corrected through the parent again, through that authority. I'm not going to take the time to read Hebrews 12, but in Hebrews 12, you have the apostle commenting on this very thing, comparing the authority of God in chastening us with the authority of the parent in chastening us. Both are good. Both are for our benefit. If we break the commands, then truly we will be chastened by mankind. The first line of defense against rebellious children is the home itself. The home is to break the child, is to stop the child, is to keep the child from doing its will in order that later that child in society doesn't bring rebellion into society. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, we read, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame." Now, rod and reproof can both be verbal. Rod could also be that which is corporal, that which is physical, but it can be verbal as well, as you read the times that the word rod occurs in Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Changed my whole heart attitude when I realized that when my father chastened me, it was because he loved me. It was because he didn't want me to be destroyed. It was because he did want me to make something of my life. He chastened me for that reason. And when I realized it was the Lord chastening me through my father, well, it was a great blessing to know that the Lord was indeed using my parents to not only give me things, but also to withhold things from me and to chasten me when I disobeyed. Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And we can multiply these verses in the book of Proverbs. All I'm doing is bringing to your attention that if the child disobeys, God and makes it incumbent upon the parent that they discipline the child and that they stop the disobedience. They stop the disobedience. Now, every child has this waywardness within them, and every child is responsible to govern their own lives, and the parents are to help that governing of the life, and if they will not do so, then the child will be destroyed by his waywardness. The next line of defense is society itself. Usually those who rebel against parents carry on that rebellion into society. And what we are seeing in our society now is a dysfunctional families producing many rebellious children. Submission is a key to the workplace. It is a key. Ask any one of the men or women here who are in the workplace, they just can't do anything they want. And they can go to the workplace and be miserable there by trying to assert their authority and run the place when they don't have that authority to do so. Or they can come and conform to the workplace and do the work that's given to them and go home with the profit that's given to them as well. Submission is a key to the workplace. And if we rebel in the home, oftentimes that rebellion is carried into the workplace. Submission is a key to society, the governments. And we have those who are fighting against society. They're stealing, they're robbing, they're doing anything they want in society because it's all about them. Nobody in the home told them that they were to deal with others in a way that was godly and right. And so when they go into society, it's all about them. If they want to steal, they can steal. If they want to rob, they can rob. And if they can kill and get away with it, they can kill and get away with it. And so God has given authority then to the government, authority even to the church, to discipline those rebels as they come up and as they try to destroy the nation of which we are a part or any other nation. In Deuteronomy 21, we read, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him outside unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. so shall they put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. What a statement. Rebellious child, put to death. I have read that passage to some rebellious children. You know, you say you have a right to rebel because your parents are imperfect. That's no excuse. Every parent is imperfect. You're heading to destruction. And while we don't have capital punishment for this type of sin, yet God still has it in His book. And He will destroy the hearts of those who are running headlong into this rebellion. And I have told young people, you're running to a wall. You won't listen when your parents and others are telling you to stop. You're heading headlong into a wall. If you won't listen, then when you hit the wall, we'll pick you up afterwards. But you will hit the wall. This is what the book of Deuteronomy is saying. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat of it. If you know anything about birds, the way that they determine that someone is dead is they go after the eye. And what you have in figurative language here is this description that these birds are going to come and attack the eye to see that this one is dead. Who is the one who is dead? The one who has despised and mocked his father, the one who has despised and would not obey his mother. Now these are not my commands and my judgments. These are God's commands and God's judgment. He has set up the home as a place of refuge and learning. Children, you are not going to be in that home forever. You will grow and you will one day be on your own. And in that day, you'll be making your own decisions. And that day, hopefully, you'll be following the Lord with all of your heart. And the Lord will give you children to raise according to what He gives you wisdom to do. But now you're in the home. And now you're to honor your parents. And now you're to obey them in the Lord. And as you do that, it will go well with you. As you do it, God will give you direction. As you do that, God will bless you. Even if someone else in the home rebels, He will bless you and He will use you in the home and He will guide you out of the home. He'll prolong your days that it may go well with you. My wife's family has great genes. They live to be 100 years old. Her grandfather lived to be 100, almost 101. Her grandmother lived to be 97, never spent a day in the hospital the whole life that she had. I told my wife that you can plan on being a widow for many years because that's not what my family is like. We die in our 70s or 80s. Having said that, if you were to come to her grandfather and ask him what the secret was to an old life, he would bring you back to this command. And he would say, it's because I obeyed the Lord in obeying my parents. It was because I honored my parents that the Lord blessed me and gave me a long life in the earth. That's certainly what we want in the church, is it not? Those that are obedient to the authorities above them. That brings peace to the church. That's what we want in society. That's not what we're seeing in society for the last 40 years, 50 years, we've seen a rebellion that started at least in the 60s, maybe earlier. And that rebellion is going on and on and on, and it's destroying our society at every level. So now we're calling evil good and good evil. And it's going to get worse, and as it gets worse, there will be persecution for the church. I don't know when it will start, but there will be persecution for God's people because you're already being marked out as those that are weird. And yet we're in a kingdom that's going to last forever. And while we're concerned about what's going on in the other kingdom, yet we cannot let the other kingdom dictate to us how we govern our lives. If you want a blessed home, God has given you the directions. This is what the Creator has said to us as to how the home ought to be. You want a blessed home as one that is redeemed. This is God the Creator, God the Redeemer, coming to you and saying, this is how you govern your home. Tonight, for the most part, we've been speaking about how we respond as children to our parents. We can take almost everything that we have said here tonight and take it to our spiritual realm and say, as God's children, how do you respond to Him as your Father? He's going to chasten you. He's going to use things to do that. He's going to purify His work in you. Are you going to submit to that, or are you going to fight with it? Our parents chastened us imperfectly, and we're still to honor them and obey them. What about the God who chastens us in perfection? He always chastens us in perfection. Because if He didn't chasten us, we would go to the right or go to the left, and we'd be over in Bypath Meadow and destroyed by our wanderings. So He has to chasten us in order to purify us, in order to get us ready for the glory that yet awaits us. What kind of a home do we want? Children, God is mapping out for you as a child the way forward. There are many who will tell you in our society today, this is not the way forward. You're going to be harmed by going this way, that many things will be kept from you if you go this direction. Yes, there are many things that will be kept from you, but those things bring guilt and shame and destruction with them. Listen to your parents. They're not perfect, but God has put them in the home and given them authority, and they pray over that authority in order that they might raise you, that you might bring glory to His name, that you might have the best chance of succeeding in life, that you might have the best chance of marrying someone who's not going to cheat on you and not going to leave you and not going to harm you later on. Listen to your parents. Let Lord guide you through them as long as they speak to you in areas that deal with that which is Christianity. We indeed today have been given what the Bible says is our role in the home in this one command. There are another command that deals with the husband and wife, and we'll deal with that later. But this deals with the parent and the child, especially the child's honoring of authority. As we learn to honor our parents, we will learn to honor our employer. As we learn to honor our parents, we'll learn to honor those in authority in the church. As we learn to honor our parents, we will learn to honor those in the government of the world that God has put. And we're all preparing ourselves for that day when we will stand before the Lord Himself and honor Him. May the Lord give us grace to have a humble heart before Him and to submit to the authorities that He's put above us, and to do so joyfully, knowing that He is in control of all things. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. If you've not trusted Christ in salvation, you're going to have a hard time trusting that the Lord is in control of your parents. Trusting Christ in salvation says that you believe that He's removed your sins, that He's a good Lord, that He's a good shepherd, and that He can guide your life, and you've submitted yourself to Him. And if you can do that, then you can see, if you would let the Scriptures guide your thought, you can see that He's in control even of the authorities He puts above you. Your parents, or if you're in the military, those that are giving orders there, in the workplace, those that are giving orders there. And He will guide you and perfect you and make you what He wants you to be by responding to these authorities. But if you're not saved, you haven't even begun to take the right step toward this authority. The authority is really the Lord's. Come and obey Him. Come and bow before Him. Come and take Him as Lord and Savior. And then begin to follow His authority as He leads you and guides you. This life is soon going to be over. Those who make the most money will not be the ones in the end who will be seen to be wise. Those who had the most pleasure will not be seen to be wise. Those who had the most popularity will not be seen to be wise. When this life is over, the ones who will be seen to be wise are the ones who submitted to the authority of Jehovah. Come to Him and submit to Christ today and embrace Him as your Lord and Savior. And if He is your Lord and Savior, ask Him to give you grace to see, that you can see behind the authority His sovereign control, so that you can honor the authority. even at times when you have to disobey commands that are meant to make you disobedient to God, you must disobey such commands. Father in heaven, we come to thee this night asking thee that you would make us those servants that would bring honor and glory to thy name. Lord, we are all your children, and we're thankful that you discipline us in love, that you do so in order that you might perfect that which you have begun. You do so in order that you might guide our life. You do so in order that you might keep us from sins that would destroy us and mar our testimony in the world. Our Father, we give thee thanks for your discipline, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we praise thee as well for that which we have read as to how we are to be governed in the home. And Lord, we would ask that you would give to all of our children the ability to believe thee and thy word, the ability to see your hand guiding and directing through their parents. And Lord, in the difficult time of being a child, we ask, O Lord, that they would not add to that difficulty by being rebellious, but instead that they would submit to thee, and in submitting to thee, submit to their parents. Lord, we ask this for thy glory. We ask it for their own welfare, that you would raise up from our children those that will be testimonies, trophies of grace in this dark and wicked generation in which we live. Lord, we know that you can save a soul. We know that you can take those of us who were rebellious as children and change us and make us that which we were not. And Lord, we would ask that of thee. We would ask that you would make us more like Christ and obedient to all the authorities placed above us. And yet at the same time, Lord, give us grace to disobey those authorities when they disobey thee, to disobey those authorities when they call upon us to do that which is evil in thy sight. Lord, give us such grace. Our time is short. Help us to redeem the time and to live in submission to thee, the time that we have on this earth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and we ask them for his glory. Amen.